The boys are back in town! Deadlock returns for a very special episode, the Year End Awards. The Deddies, we are now crowning Le Champions for this year. It's exciting, Tony.
It's crazy. It's crazy audio quality you have from Japan.
I know! We're chilling, having a good time, drinking some sake. No, ooh, not yet, okay. But I'm pretty sure I will be very drunk for most of this trip. I'm very, very sure. I'm excited. So this is the first episode I think we've ever done that's in the can, ever. This is a Tubby Emu special right here. This is a very special episode.
This will actually go up, though, so it's not the Tubby
Emu special. Yeah, that's true. It's going to the can, but it's going out again, too, so that's good. You know, of course, we did the Deddy Year End Award stuff. We had the ballot submissions. We let you guys kind of create the ballots, and then we let you vote on the ballots. And now we have over 284 submissions, and now we have the winners of those 284 submissions and the winners of things like Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Event of the Year, Feud of the Year, and all the way down the list. And some of them are surprising, yet some of them absolutely are not surprising in the very least. Right. So we'll talk about all that. Really quick, just want to give a big thank you to everyone who helps support the show. Of course, going on Apple Podcasts, always a fun way to do it. You can go up there, leave a 5-star review, leave a good rating. Got 132 5-star ratings because we got 132 of you that love us, but we want more. We're very selfish. Give us more. We got All Elite Braden, who left us a nice little review. He said, "This pod is awesome. I've been watching Pulse since I was like 7 or 8, and now I'm 15. This pod is hilarious and very informative. I listen to it on the bus going home. It's awesome. Keep it up." Thank you. I can tell by your name, All Elite, who you voted for in this year-end stuff.
WWE?
Yeah, it seems like everybody NXT. Had a little bit of a AEW boner, but I'm not surprised by that at all. Since, one, it's very new, very fresh. Everyone's excited for it, and, you know, I expected it. You expected it, right? Like, they definitely had to sweep some of these up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I voted, so yeah. I picked my favorite AEW moments of the year, because we're biased.
Very biased, 100%. Patreon, of course, Deadlock, PW, or we own Patreon now. Deadlockpw.com/Patreon. Patreon.com/DeadlockPW. We had a couple of people. We had a $1 from Downey Jr. and a $10 from Nene Sama. But I think I'm going to let Tony also, and I believe he'll already have his by the time we get there, won't we?
Yeah, we'll have it. But can we thank everybody for the entire year? Because I think this is going to go up at this will be the last episode of the year, I believe, right?
Will it? I'm not sure. That's up to you. I'm going to let you figure that out.
I think it's going to go up on the 29th, 30th. So this will be the last one of the year. So can we thank all the Patreons for the entire year that they supported us?
Yes. Thank you guys so much.
I mean, it's been a little bit of the bubbly here.
Oh, my. He does. Oh, my God. He's going to pop it open, brother.
I'm going to shampoo. Well, it's not a cork. It's
a screw. Oh, what the hell, Tony? You had one job. I said, go to the store, get the bubbly. You came back with a damn. Come on now.
I should have had one of those party things too, and I forgot. It's like this is the end of the year. We have to make it.
No,
big.
Hey, don't worry. We have the technology. All right, just edit it in right here. Put Cody Pyro.
Cody Pyro.
We have the technology. But thank you guys so much, man. This year for Deadlock has been immense, man.
This year, as opposed to last year for Deadlock, because it was rough last year.
We weren't even doing nothing last year. That was rough. It's actually only been about four-ish months. It hasn't been long.
All out, man. We started it all out.
Yeah. It has been a very eventful year, to say the very least. It's hilarious how quick this has grown, because even like on shirt releases and stuff, we're like, man, I hope we sell like 4 shirts. And then like
our goal is like 5 and we hit like 30.
Yeah, can
like,
we get 5 shirts sold, man? That would be awesome. And then like in 10 minutes, well, there goes 5 shirts. All right, perfect. Just to give perspective into how quick, like, we did not expect this to be as successful as it is. And you know, thanks to you guys, people who go on, you know, like we say it every fucking week. We say, go on Apple and leave your reviews and go on Patreon and become patrons or buy a shirt or just talk about us on Twitter, retweet and likes. I mean, it helps every little bit. I mean, this is an enigma. I mean, we kind of took over very, very quickly. I mean, the podcast numbers are insane. There's a ton of people out there that just absolutely love what we do. The Patreon is, oh my God, I can't even, like, I didn't even... like, that was crazy that so many people wanted to become patrons right away. That was super dope, and I hope that we've provided something that you know, you guys really, really enjoy. And we have so many plans. So many plans, Tony, for 2020. It's nuts.
It's going to be crazy, man. And I just want to thank everybody that's worked with Deadlock, whether it's like being a part of the brand or like even writing the editorials for the website. Like without them, the brand wouldn't be what it is today. You know what I mean? Like we do the podcast, but then there's so much more that goes in the back end from the people that
make
the
shirts,
to design the graphics, to do like
Pedro.
I feel like Pedro
is
a big, huge one. And then like everybody that does the editorials, like they're so good and they just
Dylan,
pop off.
Ian, Emily, Dalton, like it's just all the way down the list, man. It's just like really, really dope. You know, we have a really good team of contributors right now. We weren't sure, like we do videos, you know, we never mm-hmm. messed with editorial stuff. So like that was all new to us, but it was something that we wanted to do. And like our team right now is incredible. Like we just have a super
popping off.
Yeah,
dude.
We
like,
just have
all
a
the
super
articles
good team.
Are just popping off. And they're all like super unique stuff too. Like it's not.
Yeah, that was like one of the biggest
things. Stuff you can't find anywhere else.
That's what we wanted to do. Like when we launched Deadlock, that's kind of like what we wanted. That was the idea essentially. Was like we don't really think there's anything like what we were trying to do. We wanted to be creative. We didn't just want to do reviews and previews and things like that. We wanted to like let people make stuff. Like people come to me and they ask me weird stuff, and I'm like, dude, just go for it. You know what I mean? Like just go ahead and write whatever you want. Send it over and like we just be able to express yourself, you know, like it's kind of what we wanted to aim for at wrestling. We just wanted to make something that like was different than everything else that you would find. Like a lot of popular wrestling stuff is like, oh, I have a backstage scoop, guys, come look at me, you know, kind of stuff like that. Yeah. And we were like, nah, we don't really want to do that. We want to do interviews with guys and, you know, like get them over, and we want to talk to people and you create fun wrestling stuff. And I think we've done that, man. The podcast, I think we've done that. The website, I think we've done that. I mean, I think we've really stuck to what we wanted to do. Our t-shirts, our shop. Like the biggest thing for our shop was like we didn't like wrestling tees how they were, and so we just made them how we wanted to make them. And like, I think it's been super successful. And I think
I will
people
tell
resonate.
You though, I'm wearing the Deadlock shirt right now, and like this is my favorite fitting shirt I have in my wardrobe. Like I just
you can't like, beat the quality. Day. Like it's like. We just literally
no
took
BS
shirts.
Here either, by the way.
Yeah, no BS here. We literally just took the shirts that we like to wear all the time and just said, like, let's make wrestling shirts with them. Like shirts that you want to wear. It doesn't even have to do with the design. I'm not even talking about designs of wrestling. I'm literally talking about putting the damn shirt on and wanting to wear
it.
Yeah,
wearing
it.
It's not a Gildan one that gets
It's not the heavy cotton ultra extreme sweat boy shirt. You know, it's like
you wash it once and it shrinks.
These shirts will last you. They're fantastic workout shirts. They look good on your body. Like it's just they're awesome. And like that was one of the goals we wanted to do with Deadlock right away was. One, we wanted to make shirts that you wanted to wear, and like two, we wanted to hit some designs that maybe aren't too prominent in wrestling, like a small breast design with a back design. Like that's like more band shirt stuff and like things like that, and like professional companies and like wrestling. I mean, there is some obviously, but like wrestling didn't really have that. And we were like, let's go for that. So we did, and we love them, and it seems like people love them. And 2020, like I said, we have a ton of plans. Like YouTube is a very big thing that we're going to be focusing on in 2020. We want to make content like that's let's just say we have a lot of series in our heads right now, and hopefully those pan out, and YouTube is a
yeah we
very
had
big
a
thing.
Lot when we first started too, but we didn't want to make it, you know, we didn't want to run ourselves thin and do too much, so we're like, all right, let's just do this strategically and make it right, because I feel like if we started to do some of the YouTube stuff, it would have like thinned out at one point, and then it kind of would have been like
it's because we do so much at once, and it's like I said, we have been it's been so successful so fast that it's kind of been hard for us to keep up. We have kept up, but like, I think if we also were doing the YouTube stuff at the beginning while we're trying to scale along with like how crazy this got, like I don't think like we would have failed somewhere. And thankfully things just worked out. Like we were,
it's all
very
about
digital.
Timing really. And putting the right people in the right places, you know, with the editorials, those kind of just came together over time, like finding the right people. And we're like, this actually it's working out really good. And it's not like we didn't go and go, okay, we got to get like 10 writers right now and they got to write these articles.
go, guys.
Top 10 TLC matches quick.
Yeah.
We didn't do all that, but
yeah, the writers is fantastic because everyone has their favorite stuff to write about. Like Dylan likes writing about Joshi stuff. Dalton likes talking about WWE. Emily likes talking about, like, Dragon Gate or New Japan or whatever the case may be.
And daddies.
Yeah, yeah. Like the daddies thing. Like, yeah, write about whatever the fuck you want to write about.
My favorite,
you know,
article of all time.
Yeah. Like that was definitely like one of the things, like, just pitched it and we're like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds fantastic. More daddies, if possible, would be a-okay here.
Part 2s.
Yeah. And you know, and Ian with his DDT stuff, like there's just so, like, it's very diverse. Like we're a very diverse brand. Mm-hmm. That we try to cover. We just cover things that we enjoy. And like we said, Deadlock wouldn't be possible without the people behind it. And I'm not just talking about the people that work. I'm talking about the people that are here, that enjoy it, that share it, that mm-hmm. like it, that tweet it. Everybody
that wear it.
Yeah. That wear it. I mean, it's a community effort. And we have one of the best communities, I think, probably in all of the pro wrestling field. So very happy.
It's cool, man. It's cool. And I do want to thank Marcus again, who is AFK right now. But he did tell me, I gave him a call the other day, and he was like, I'm shooting for early 2020 to come back on the podcast. And I said, whenever you're ready. He's like, I should have some downtime. And I should just be working 9 to 5 Monday, Friday. So,
I mean, without Marcus, this probably wouldn't even get off the ground. I mean, like, Marcus is a very, like,
100%.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very big part of this, whether he's on the podcast or not. Like, he is a very crucial part to making Deadlock operate. So we all love Marcus.
He does more behind the scenes than you guys will ever know. So
yeah,
it is fantastic to have him on. And this was all, you know, like, kind of his vision as well. So
yeah,
to see it come to light is really cool. And just like, we're wrapping it up at the end. Yeah, I'm getting sentimental over here.
I know.
We need some man stuff.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Pull my chest hair out or something. Do something.
Let me go ahead and shot at his bourbon. All right, we're back in the mix.
Getting too soft over here.
I know. What the hell, dude? This is weird.
But it's good, weird, man. Like, at the end of the year, man, just reflect back on how everything went. I think it, you know, again, it's crazy. You were talking about it on your Big Fight Feel podcast. I was listening. I listened to that.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I don't. And you were saying that you kind of had given up on wrestling at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, dude, I was checked the fuck out. I was like,
and then now, the end of the year, you're like, let's go. I'm going to Japan. I'm going to watch 100 wrestling shows in a row. Let's do this.
That's really, really weird, to be honest. That's really weird because you're right. I definitely was. Like I said, on and the Big Fight Field podcast is on the Deadlock Radio Network now, which is something we're launching that's looking to, take over the podcast game too. So WB, watch your fucking back.
In the 99 and the 2000s, bro, we're taking over.
The Deadlock Radio Network is here to stay. Big Fight Feel, if you're a Joshi fan, you can check that out. It's my other podcast. But yeah,
if you're,
I talked
not a Joshi
about
fan,
it,
you can check it out as well.
It's, yeah, it actually is pretty inclusive in that sense, and it'll get you into Joshi. I cover things pretty well for people that also, I try to watch out for people who also don't like religiously follow it, so they can get into it too. But yeah, at the beginning of the year, I was working a full-time gig. YouTube was falling away for me. I just didn't feel like I had anything to offer anymore. You know, I just wasn't into it anymore. And I was like, all right, well, I guess it's just time for me to move on. You know, I was ready to just kind of pack up the wrestling shit. And then I found a match from Stardom, and I was like, oh, this is, what the fuck? And then like, I fell in love with it. And now I'm going on, you know, I always wanted to go to wrestle. I think everyone's all like, that's always a bucket list for anybody. It's like, I want to go to Wrestle Kingdom because the Tokyo Dome is an enigma. It's like, it's,
yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy because I'm not like, Wrestle Kingdom is not even like the show I'm looking the most forward to, but it's like the experience that I'm looking the most forward to. I think that's kind of like the first Mania we went to where I was like, oh shit, like, I'm at WrestleMania. Yeah.
It's an enigma, crazy, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I'm very excited for that. I guess, shoot, I'll be, what, a week or two when this is out? I'll be a week or two into Japan already. So that's pretty crazy. I'll go ahead and drop this to the, you got shit, by the time this comes out, you guys will probably have them in your hand. But I just finished up packing up all the Jungle Power tees, and they'll be shipping out.
Nice.
They come with some super dope stuff too, like, the Jungle Kionitz pin, there's only 50 of them, so they're all limited. There's 50 pins, so it's an out of 50 limited number. And then the Lulu Pencil Doodle Bob sticker, which is incredible. That's also limited out of 50. So, you know, once they're all gone, they're all gone, but those are included. It's a very special, obviously it's special to me. I'm actually going to be giving I'm gonna get, I don't know what size Keona wears. I assume it's either a small or a medium. So like, I just got a small or medium extra, and I'm gonna give it to her as a gift when we go over
that's
there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be really, really dope. But of course, Tony is still steering the ship. He looking for guest hosts. I think Johnny from New Legacy is gonna join in at one point, right?
Oh, you can. I was like, don't say it. Oh, wait, but
yeah, he'll already be on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got him for at least TLC, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, yeah, Johnny is a hard dude to get a hold of sometimes because he's up at 3 a.m. and asleep at 2 in the afternoon. So it's like, what is going on here?
In hindsight, you'll look back and go, oh, yeah, maybe that was a good decision. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. TLC, I'm sure, will be a fantastic show. And
it looks great. The dog food. Yeah, it looks really fun. I'm glad that I'm also not watching that. So that's, you know, have fun with that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man.
There's yeah, actually I scheduled my trip so I would have to miss TLC. That was kind of like what I did.
You watch it while you're in the plane, right?
Absolutely not. Wow, they actually
got
banned
the
WWE
in the back
network
of the seat, right?
Yeah. No, they banned it. No, sorry, I can't watch it. Bummer.
They banned it.
No,
they you can use a VPN to get access to it.
No WWE in here. I said, you know what? That's why I booked that plane too. I was like, yep, Japan Airlines, baby.
What
they
a weird airline. Shit. What a weird play. No WWE.
Yeah. All right. So there's things that fall from the ceiling so you can get oxygen and like you can get underneath your seat if you need an inflatable thing. And oh, yeah, by the way, no fucking WWE on this flight, you idiot. Put that shit away.
You can have as much carry-on bags as you want, but just no WWE.
Yeah, DDT Universe only, dude, you damn jerk.
That's fantastic.
So we have the Deddy Year End Awards, boys. Like I said, 284 submissions here at the end of the year. Of course, we had over, 150 ballot submissions. So we had a ton of people participate this year, which is really, really cool to see. We had a bunch of different categories here. We could have had more, but I think it was good to set like a baseline for our awards going forward. Mm-hmm. You remember Workaholics when they had like a mid-year Christmas or something?
Yeah.
We could have like a mid-year. I was thinking about that. We'd do a mid-year award or something. Just because I think recency bias is definitely a thing, and mid-year would give, you know.
Yeah, because I forgot about every wrestling event that happened.
How many people messaged us and said, I didn't even remember the Matt Riddle milk thing. I'm like, yeah, man, that shit ruled. And then everyone's like, yeah, you're right. That absolutely does
rule. It's because... like everybody remembers like what happened, like remember Keith Lee was like breakout star and it just happened.
Yeah. Keith Lee was on the, yeah, it literally happened like a week ago, so like, yeah. That was pretty crazy.
He had one cool thing with Roman. All right, he's our breakout,
he's our breakout baby. He did that thing with Finn Balor. I saw a gif where he like stood up behind him or something. I'm like, yeah, that's a WWE shot. All right, that is absolutely a WWE shot.
We definitely need to have like a maybe every quarter, dude. That'd be weird, the quarterly awards.
Yeah, we have to set like trends. Every podcast in the world is gonna be doing what we're doing now. Do quarterly.
Yeah, we can do the quarterly awards or
every month award.
What happened? Everything that happened in the last 2 weeks. All right.
And we'll have every single month we'll have like a just a little conversation about how happy we are about how Deadlock is doing, and thank you guys so much. Welcome to the January awards.
We'll have the AEW is the best wrestling promotion award. It goes to AEW.
Yeah. And congratulations to AEW for winning again. They just keep winning somehow.
For 69 weeks in a row.
My favorite was company of the year, NXT. Yo, I don't think y'all understand how any of this works.
Like, no, but Hunter, it's a different thing.
Yeah, WWE versus NXT. I don't think you guys understand how this works. All right, so anyways, we'll go down the categories real quick. Shit. We had Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Event of the Year, Feud of the Year, Rookie of the Year, which a lot of people didn't understand, which led to this next one, Breakout Star of the Year. I had to add that award in there separately. Company of the Year, Indie Company of the Year, Best Twitter Account, Worst Twitter Account, Best Twitter Moment, and Worst Twitter Moment. They're all quite interesting. Some of them, like I said, very obvious. Some of them very much not so. So, we'll kick it off here with the, do you want to kick it off with Wrestler of the Year? Or which one do you think you want to go from the bottom up or? Wrestler of the Year is like the big award.
Worst
so
Twitter
should,
of the Year.
Yeah.
The,
you want to go the, bottom up?
I feel like Worst Twitter and Worst Twitter Moment should be the last two.
You think?
Cause everybody's looking forward to the Worst Twitter Moment, right?
Well, I think Wrestler of the Year is probably like the, well, I don't know. It seems like if you go from the bottom up, maybe we'll do the, okay, so we'll do the wrestling ones first and then we'll go to the Twitter ones second. So we'll go from
wrestler of the year last. Yeah, we'll do wrestler of the year last, no matter what.
Okay, so we'll go from indie company all the way up to rest or to match of the year, and then we'll go do Twitter and then wrestler. That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay. Good. All right, so we'll kick it off here with the indie company of the year. We had a lot of ballot submissions, and they all kind of came out to the same four. So like these are probably the biggest four indie companies that people are paying attention to right now. Mm-hmm. Some people put Ring of Honor for some reason, like they are owned by one of the biggest television networks. Okay. So anyways, indie company of the year had four selections here. So you either had Game Changer Wrestling, which is GCW. You had Gato Move, Beyond Wrestling, or Major League Wrestling, which is MLW. GCW has had one hell of a year. They've kind of taken over where ROH and PWG and all that and CZW kind of fell behind. They somehow took over everything. Gato Move, on the other hand, has been a promotion that has sort of blown up out of just sheer necessity for Joshi promotions. I mean, if you look on YouTube, you get nothing. Unless someone, you know, like uploads it otherwise, but Gato Move's like one of the first promotions that like actively uploads matches and it's worked because people watch them. It's been a very big year for Gato Move. Beyond Wrestling, of course, with Uncharted Territories every Thursday is a big deal. They took over and they've created a product just straight out of, they've created a weekly indie somehow, and it's impressive. They've had a really good year. And MLW, of course, was probably the first one to do all of this stuff. Court Bauer, I believe, is the man that runs that. And they did the YouTube stuff and you know, they were a big deal and they did War Games and all that stuff. And being on YouTube has been able to kind of open them up to a lot of stuff. So, like, the four companies here were definitely good stuff. We'll go from the bottom up for these for each of these categories here to give you the winner. So, coming in fourth, Beyond Wrestling at 10.2%. Now, remember, these percentages are all based out of 284 submissions. But Beyond Wrestling comes in at fourth at 10.2%. We had MLW come in at 20.4%. Gato Move come in at 31%. And GCW winning Indie Company of the Year with 38.4%. Interesting. GCW is your winner.
I mean, this is kind of how I predicted it to go, to be honest.
Like, I don't know. I thought Gato Move was going to... I'm very biased. I thought Gato Move... But I got to be honest with you. I wanted Gato Move to win, but I wasn't sure. First off, I thought they were going to be dead last. The fact that they beat MLW and Beyond, and especially... Uh-huh. Dude, if you took Beyond and MLW and combined both of their percentages, it's still not Gato Move's percentage. So, like... That's,
Scott Steiner math checks out.
It's pretty impressive. But I guess GCW is a powerhouse. I mean, they're a powerhouse. They kind of took
the
party
shows. If you've ever been to a GCW show, it's
dope.
It's the best live thing you could go to.
Yeah. And I mean, they've kind of, you know, Japan has produce shows where they take a wrestler and they're like, book this show. And then GCW is like, we will also do that. So, like, you know, Jimmy Lloyd's going to book the show or, you know, whatever the case may be, or Joey Janela is going to book the show. And
Joey Janela stuff is really put him on the map, I think.
Yeah, they at the Mania Week stuff definitely put them on the map, like Spring Break and stuff like that. Like, that's unmissable. Like, if you go there Mania Week, like, you got to go to these shows, man. Like, you just cannot miss them. But... congratulations to GCW, man. They took over and got that 38.4 to put them on Indie Company of the Year. So congratulations, man.
They almost killed David Arquette, and that was sweet.
Oh, now yeah, that's right.
Now a documentary about that's coming out, so that's pretty cool. So,
is that true?
Yeah, there's a David Arquette, like, I almost died in the ring or something. I don't know what it's called. Something like that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And it's about, like, his love for wrestling and how he returned and came back, and now he's, like, and I think it talks about, like, that moment and stuff. So that's cool.
I didn't know
so
that,
it'll
yeah.
be, it's cool, GCW, man. Like you said, it's like where Ring of Honor and PWG, like it was like back in the day, it was ROH, and then I guess TNA took that over a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it was like PWG, and now this generation's GCW, because it's completely different than anything you can get anywhere else. So
yeah, you go from a barn burner to an ass whooping. There's
Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so fucking weird. That promotion doesn't make any sense, but it works. And like,
it's in like this sweaty, like weird, like asbestos ceiling.
Yeah, it's like in a fucking barn out in the middle of nowhere.
Where
like
we
a,
were watching it. Yeah, like, yeah. Like, is this
like if you shook the ceiling, we'd all fucking get a disease. Like, like that's where we were at for.
But it's wild stuff. Though, because if people pack that place in, it's like standing room only. Like they have like 10 chairs and the rest is standing room. It's like people come out and drove. Like
there's no point. Let me give you a tip for GCW, man. Do not worry about getting a fucking seat. Just get the cheapest ticket possible because the second someone does a spot, everyone loses their seat and everybody's standing. Like, there's no, like, you know, I mean, just get general admission and just go. You know, get some Modelo's because that, for some reason, is all they serve. And, like, just buckets of Modelo's.
Out of all the beer you could get is Modelo. I'm like, all right.
Just get buckets of Modelo's and call it a day.
But it's wild. If you ever get a chance, I would definitely go to a GCW show. If you ever get a chance to go to a live, like, if you're a wrestling fan and you've never seen, like, independent wrestling or anything, go to GCW. You'll have a wild ass time. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, you'll have a wild time.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's the fucking Lucha Fuck Fest and none of it makes, for all purposes here, this company probably shouldn't have worked, but like the timing.
Nick Gage.
The timing of it literally couldn't have been any better. They're in the perfect time to do what they're doing and they do it well. So like, congratulations, man. I mean, they definitely deserve it. Maybe don't book Nazis and shit though, so like maybe stop doing that, but other than that, you know, like yeah good shit.
keep doing everything else
but the Nazi stuff is kind of whack. Now we can head on to the company of the year. This is your you know, more larger companies, I guess is the
mainstream
way to put it,
I guess we call it.
Yeah. So we had a couple. This is something I was surprised about because I even went back and looked at it. New Japan did not make this list. That's kind of crazy. Stardom and DDT made it over on New Japan, even though New Japan had a pretty big year. Best of Super Juniors was really good. The G1 was pretty good. They had the Madison Square Garden show that really did really well. They had a couple of U.S. shows, the one in Dallas. But they didn't
make it. And they started New Japan of America, too.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure out why maybe they didn't make it. And I think it's because other Japanese promotions have started kind of rising in prominence. And since the ballot submissions had about 150 people, most of them voting for AEW or WWE, it was, and I think most of WWE was probably NXT, but you know, they didn't put NXT. Some people did put NXT, but most of them being WWE in that sense. But I think that just having that group of promotions that are other than AEW or WWE, like Stardom and DDT and, you know, fucking Oz Academy and stuff like that. Like there was just so many different companies that were in this list. I think it split the vote. I think if they weren't there, I think New Japan would have made the list, but they were there and like it just kind of fucked New Japan over. Because I mean, if I were to personally make the ballot, New Japan would have been on the ballot. I mean, just because.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think they had a good year, but it's community voted and that's how the cookie crumbles. So, you know, that's just how it be. So anyways, we had four companies on the company of the year. We had AEW, WWE, Stardom, and DDT. Kind of surprised to see Stardom. Kind of not, just because I think I'm here. I think if I wasn't
let's
here.
Be real. If you weren't here and you didn't talk about Stardom and your love for it and the podcast you have,
I think the audience would be different. Yeah, if I wasn't here, I think the audience would be a little different and it probably have been like AEW, WWE, New Japan, and I don't even know.
Impact Wrestling.
ROH or something. Yeah, I definitely think it would have been different.
I don't know. I do think it's cool, though, that we have like a definitely unique audience as well. So it's cool.
It's diverse. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, diverse.
So starting off here, we had DDT coming in fourth place. They had 6.3%. Surprisingly, next was WWE at 6.7%. So barely even beating DDT.
I think if you would have put NXT, it would have been higher, but.
Well, like, it's not.
I know it's not. Yeah. It's not, but I'm just saying that's, I think people, it's a weird thing. People think, oh, WWE Raw
WWE
SmackDown.
Are puppet
it's
masters. Like, they are fucking yeah, puppet masters, dude. They're like, WWE sucks, but NXT, oh yeah, it's a fucking cult. Yeah, come hang out with NXT and the
no
boys.
BS. NXT,
yeah, I love
no
that.
BS.
That tell you about that? Like, that Top sent that package to my house. And my mom's like, did you just get some fucking cult initiation yeah. shit? And I'm like, I swear to God, that's the funniest shit you've ever said in your life. Because, like, I say the same shit. I'm like, NXT is absolutely a cult,
but she
bro.
Was dead ass serious.
Yeah, she was, like, really, like, she was like, what is this? NXT, it sounds like a cult. I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. It does. I have nothing to say.
It's wild because I like literally you would have put NXT on here. It probably would have been like number two or something.
I think that's so weird. Too. I think they got kind of shafted. And that might be,
but it's not a company. So you can't,
it's not, yeah, it's not a company. It's a brand within a goddamn company. So like, it'd be like, if I put AEW and AEW dark, like what? It's the same shit. But I think maybe if I put on the ballot WWE/NXT, maybe that would have helped. But like, that's up to y'all, man. Don't be so damn stupid.
But it's not.
These NXT fans on 6IQ,
bro.
You
have to put WWE/Raw/SmackDown/Main Event/NXT/.
Yeah, what do I got to put here? Main Event? Yeah, like, come on now. Like, it's all
WWE,
under one
but
company.
We know that you really want to vote for NXT. That's what you should have wrote.
yeah, we should have done that. But WWE came in at 6.7%, barely beating DDT. DDT had a very, very good year this year. I was just happy to see him on the list, period, to be honest. I thought that was really cool. Stardom coming in at 16.5%. They had a bigger combined number than WWE and DDT. That's crazy. Ooh. That's nuts. But there was only one company that could have possibly won this, man. One singular company that reigns above them all. And it's because this
NWA.
Podcast. Yeah. NWA power. there's only one company that could ever won this. And whether that has to do with us being 100% biased or not, I don't know the answer. I just think it's been a really good year for them, and they've really kind of taken the shit over. They've been doing really well. AEW coming in number one, winning the company of the year at 70.4%. Tony,
wow,
that number is
just a landslide.
Yeah, that wasn't even close. That was a decimation on a level I can't even imagine. Insane.
That's crazy though, man. Just to think about it, I thought like WWE would have got higher, but not at all.
Nope. It turns out NXT sucks, bro. Like, the numbers don't lie. 6.7%, man.
Oh my gosh, our Patreon numbers is dropped. Podcast subscribers are gone. It's all over.
The numbers don't lie. Like, they spell disaster for NXT. 6.7%. The Colts got to come out in bigger numbers, bro. Y'all are slacking.
All right, let me just tell you this, because this is already, you probably won't talk about this ever, me and you, but this was the one week that NXT and AEW tied in viewership, so.
Oh my God, you're right. That's so weird. That's incredibly weird. Oh, I forgot to make my, in the war, I forgot to make my Wrestle War tweet about being in the trenches. Damn, that, I missed it all. I missed the opportunity. Oh well, I'll just say next time I post it, I'll just be like, I didn't even get to make it home last time. we were at a stalemate. That's dope. That's a good
one. Great banter online, man.
I'll keep that one in the vault. So congratulations to AEW on your huge victory over every other company in the world this year at 70.4%. So GCW taking indie company, AEW taking big company of the year.
I feel like they've got like a formula that works, like do a couple big shows a year, then do their TV. And I think people just don't need that pay-per-view every month anymore. It's just like too much, you know? So I think they've got a good formula, and that's kind of...
Damn, now you're talking to me about this. I'm like, damn, now I want to discuss this. But we'll save the... Is four pay-per-views a year better than... 12.
I'm just saying that I think that helps them in what they're doing. Because again, we talk about WWE and we're like, wait, that happened this year? There was
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it's just a discussion.
You just don't want to get on a tangent.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a discussion to be had, and I think we'll save that for when I come back from Japan, and we'll talk about it because we'll get closer to AEW.
You're
going to
be on life support when you come back from Japan.
Yeah, I'll actually get on this podcast. Man, I don't fucking watch no more wrestling, bro. I'm fucking out of here.
I hate wrestling.
But yeah, that's a discussion to be had. And of course, AEW running, they announced that Revolution pay-per-view, in
which
February.
Which we're going to go to,
yeah,
I think.
We're planning to go to. So we'll talk about
the
actually.
The one biased podcast will be representing AEW.
I actually emailed the arena to talk about a suite because they have them at the Wintrust arena. And I was like, damn, what if we just got a deadlock suite and like people could just pay to get a spot in the deadlock suite? That'd be pretty dope. So I emailed them. We don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if you're in the Chicago area and you would be interested in buying a sweet spot, please tell us so we know to, you know, like this is something people want.
That'd be cool. Yeah. We'll talk more.
And we're only going to get enough people to where everyone can fucking sit down, because I hate that shit when we go in a suite and I have to stand up and just look. There's like seven people crowded in the background. There's not enough seats for everybody. We will sell just enough to where everyone can sit down. That's
I think they have like 12 seats and then they're like, all right, we can fit 30 people in here.
Yeah, cool. That's exactly how it is. They're like, yeah, there's 12 seats in here. All right, well, we have 19 people. Okay, well, stand up then. I don't know what to tell you. Everybody's watching.
And it's like everybody's walking really fast to get to the suite. They're like, I got to get to the seat.
Go grab, go make them, don't let them sit down. Get to the suite and like there's four or five people.
I got to go to the bathroom.
The four or five people just watching the TV in the background. They're like, remember, what was it? All Out, where they're like, James, can you turn the TV on? You're tall. I'm like, God damn it. No, I can't turn the TV on. Got to get on this counter. I'm like, sucks.
I went to one WWE one and I was in a suite and the TV wouldn't turn on. And it was like the worst experience of my life.
It's
abysmal. Like really overcrowded.
Yeah, because there's like 40 people in there. You can't see anything. The TV is nice to have in the suite because like you sometimes you can miss stuff being that far away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, oh man, what if we got enough people to do the suite and then we could get that bitch catered and get some of them good hot wings in there, get a little bit of
that. Okay,
that's the good stuff.
All
right, so if you guys are interested in that, you know, you got a couple months here, you got 2 full months, you know, tell us because we want to fucking do it.
There'll be an extra seat. James isn't going to go after Japan.
I'll hang out or whatever, but yeah, I'll be at the bar or whatever.
In January, he'll come back. So remember when I was talking about getting a real job and quitting YouTube? Yeah, I'm doing that again.
Yeah, we're back at it again. It's a new year. It's time to, we got to find something else. So we have Breakout Star of the Year. This is an award that came out of nowhere just because when I put Rookie of the Year, I guess I didn't clarify good enough. So a lot of people were putting like Keith Lee and Darby Allin. It's like, well, this is not their first year in wrestling. So, we had to change that up, so I decided to take all the people that were submitted under Rookie of the Year and put them under a new category called Breakout Star of the Year, and then I had you guys vote on that. So we had 4 people for Breakout Star of the Year. We had Riho from AEW, Shingo Takagi from New Japan, Keith Lee from WWE, NXT, Main Event, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, WWE Network, Table 3.
Promotion company of the year.
Make sure I cover all the bases here so you guys know what WWE is. And at the 4th, we had Darby Allin from AEW. So we had 2 AEW, 1 WWE, NXT, Main Event, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. And we had Shingo Takagi from New Japan kind of bringing up the rear as the last dude there. So let's break it down. Coming in at 4th on Breakout Star of the Year, we had Riho at 13%. Come the fuck on, guys. What are you doing? So we had coming in next, 3rd, we had Shingo Takagi at 14.1% from New Japan. Coming in at 2nd, we had Keith Lee at 20.8%. And coming in 1st, the breakout star of the year, the Deddy winner himself, Darby Allin at 52.1%. Darby's over, man. This dude's over.
That was definitely my vote, would be Darby Allin.
Put Riho.
Right.
All right, bitch. What do you mean, right?
No, I expected that. I expected you. I wouldn't expect anything less for you to vote for Riho.
I went Riho, but if I had to go in order, it would be Riho, Darby, Shingo, and then Keith Lee coming in at 4th. Darby, did you hear the pop? Like, this was, you know, it's weird talking about shit in the can. But on the week of when he came out to help Cody, after he lost his match with QT Marshall, the tag team match against Butcher and Blade.
Yeah, he just shook his hand. He shook Cody's hand.
And the crowd erupted for Darby Allin to come out there. So, like, this dude is a star. I mean, there's nothing about it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Keith Lee, I think, if they followed up, you know what I mean? Like, if Keith Lee was up there with Roman Reigns after his handshake with Roman Reigns and all that stuff, and, like, I think maybe you could argue it more. I was surprised that Keith Lee had more votes than Shingo, to be honest. But I think that just really came down to the split of people. Riho
the
became
Western
a star.
Audience.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think it came down to that kind of split. Riho, yeah, right. I mean, you can't even, like, objectively, she is probably the biggest breakout star. She went from wrestling in a room with 60 people below a dentist's office with a mat to being the most over woman on the roster in AEW. I mean, it's just like objectively, you know, I'm 100% biased. Riho.
Right.
Breakout star of the year. But you can't deny Darby Allin had a year, you know? You can't deny that this dude at 52.1% doesn't resonate with a ton of people, you know?
It's crazy, man, because I feel like they have like 15 more people that can break out in that company because it's just like their first time on mainstream audience is basically how it is.
Yeah.
I think with Darby Allin as well, they did a really good like introduction to him, I think, is what also helped set him over with this video package when he first came in. They showed him skateboarding and like how he's like, I'm going to die for wrestling because I'm not long for this world because I'm going to kill my... And I think like, and the face paint helps too. Anybody with face paint always gets over, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, his face paint is simple too, so the kids can do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like Jeff Hardy where he's just got eyelid paint and stuff. Like, no kids can do the eyelids.
So yeah, I think it's a lot of that. I think they did a really good job setting him up for success, especially that early match with Cody. It was like a really good, like,
it's,
okay.
Yeah, we talked about that too. It's like, when we were watching, we were like, eh. But then like, damn, it really did like set him up really well.
And then Jericho too, he had a match with Jericho, and it's a skateboard thing with Jericho.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, every single match he's had, he walked away looking like a megastar. Like, he walked away just... They put him... I mean, everyone they faced, like, they had him face the dudes that had the ability to put him over. So, like, it's hard to argue.
And that's the thing about him as well, is, like, I'm always like, I want to see Darby Allin on this show. And then when he shows up, it's like, all right, this is awesome. But it's like, you're constantly like... They don't overexpose him either. I think that's another thing with some of these
guys.
Yeah,
he was off TV for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, I'm tired of this person. When they're really good, and then you're just sick of seeing them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Darby, you're like, oh, man, I want to see more. But they don't give it to you. Like, they pick their spots very well with him, and that's what makes it work as well. So
yeah, I think so, too. But, yeah, I mean, he won by a landslide. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure, if you combine everybody else's numbers, like, it doesn't even hit Darby Allin. So, like, that's crazy. I think if you combine everybody else, it comes, like, 47.something%. So, like,
I wonder, like, do you think, like, 3 years down the road when, like, Darby's contract comes up with AEW or whatever, if WWE would, like, extend an offer and he would go?
Oh, absolutely. Like, they extend an offer right now. They walk into his house. What's up, motherfucker? You trying to work here?
It's wild to think about that. WWE poaching the talent from AEW.
Hell yeah. You know damn well they'll do that exactly. Like, they'll steal them right from underneath them, like right in the middle of like a transition period for like their negotiations. And then Triple H will do like a press conference. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, y'all just need to shut the fuck up. Like, we're just like doing business or whatever, man. You know, like we didn't do nothing shady at all. Like, they just fucking swooped in right in the middle of negotiations and were like, whatever they're giving you, we'll give you three times as much. We didn't do nothing. Like, what? All right, Triple H.
Right.
He is so good at spinning that, like, he'll probably fucking mid contract just like extend an offer and be like, okay, the second your contract comes up, whatever they give you, we'll give you more.
Isn't that illegal? Nah, man, we didn't do
anything.
No, don't
worry. No, I didn't do it. Like, you know, like, Triple H is very good at getting on those conference calls and like spinning. He is very Vince-esque in that sense. Like,
you remember Eric Bischoff? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, puppet masters. The puppet masters, dude. I'm telling you, you got people on strings, dude. This is nuts.
We move on from this.
Yeah, but congratulations, like, Darby Allin.
We're getting on these tangents about like
the puppet masters. Hey, if you ain't seen,
I need a graphic with Triple H and like strings and like,
yeah. All right. So, anyways, next up was Rookie of the Year, which was last 18 months or so. I think more people voted so much so in the last 12 or so months, but last 18 is probably good for Rookie of the Year, just because it gives people who debuted in the later half of the year a chance. We had four people for Rookie of the Year. We had Saya Kamitani from Stardom. We had Rin Narita from New Japan. We had Shota Umino from New Japan also. And we had Lulu Pencil from Gato Move. Coming in at fourth position here in Rookie of the Year, we had Rin Narita, who a lot of people were surprised that Carl Fredericks wasn't in this. Carl Fredericks was actually submitted a few times, but Rin was, he was submitted more.
Mm-hmm.
So Rin Narita comes at 5.3%. Saya Kamitani comes in at 7%. I think she would come in more if I attached a gif of her dancing in her entrance to the submission forms.
Next year we'll work on that.
Yeah, next year we'll have pictures and gifs and stuff.
Or next quarter, I guess.
Next week. We're actually doing weekly awards now. And then coming in at second place, we had Shota Umino from New Japan, who got 38%, which is quite a bit, which leaves us with only one more person. Your winner of the Deddy's Rookie of the Year, Lou Pitzel at 49.6%. I can't believe it. She did it. I can't believe it. Incredible, man. I put her over enough on this podcast.
Yeah, you did.
People
yeah, you
finally did. Understand how good
Start
she
listening
is.
To you.
And I'll be damned, bro. Lulu Pencil is the Deddy's, the Deadlock Year End Awards Rookie of the Year. Congratulations. Got to move. You might have gotten second place in the Indie Company of the Year, but Lulu Pencil took it home for you in the Rookie of the Year position. I was so happy when I saw this. And when I was looking at Indie Company of the Year, I was like staring at it the whole time. I was like, all right, where am I got to move guys at? Come on now. You're so close. But GCW won that one, but Lulu Pencil took this one early and then kept it the whole damn time. Impressive stuff. If you have not seen Lulu Pencil perform, if you're hearing this for the first time, you're like, who is this? Go on YouTube, type in Lulu Pencil, watch her matches. Her matches with Antonio Honda are legendary. You'll love them. I promise you, you will. You'll have a good time. She is, it's almost insane that she's a rookie, to be honest. And Joshi's had a lot of that this year. Saya Kamitani, who is just breaking, she literally debuts a new move every week. It's insane that these rookies are on one. That's all I'm gonna say about these Joshi rookies. They're on one. You know, it's not like Young Lions, it's not like Shota or Ren where they were like in black tights, you know, doing one move. Like,
yeah,
like it's still very much so is like that in Joshi, where like most of them will do drop kicks or forearms, but like shit's starting to escalate, bro. Like they're starting to get like really, really good. And Lulu is, she understands wrestling quite a bit. Now, next up, we have Feud of the Year. This was a very interesting one, especially based on the submissions that we had here. So we had Arisa Hoshiki versus Tam Nakano from Stardom. We had All Out versus Sendai Girls from DDT. We had Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole from WWE NXT.
Main event. Sorry, every time you say WWE, you're killing me over here. WWE NXT, Raw, SmackDown, ECW, NWO.
I just got to make sure everyone understands what this covers exactly because they don't seem to get it. And then we also had Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks. So coming in fourth in Feud of the Year was DDT's All Out versus Sendai Girls at 4.9%. This was still a very fantastic feud. Definitely recommend you check out DDT All Out versus Sendai because it was a very good event. Coming in third place was Arisa Hoshiki versus Tam Nakano from Stardom at 19%, which was a pretty big percent for that feud. I actually also voted for this one. I voted for this one, and that came in at 19%. Coming in second place for Feud of the Year, Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, 31.3%. So there definitely was some NXT representation. So it was there, obviously, but it still wasn't enough to beat out the number one, the Deddy's Feud of the Year, Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks, 44.7%. Congratulations, y'all beat the hell out of each other for goddamn near 6 months. It was a very, very, like, the match we saw live was probably the nuttiest ladder match I've ever seen. They were just like, let's die. And like, that's awesome. Like, that's the type of wrestling.
Yeah, they killed each other
see.
For that match.
Yeah. Congratulations to both of them. You know, people talk about the Young Bucks or, you know, they have whatever they have to say. But the fact of the matter is like, they're still super popular with a lot of people. And Lucha Bros, it's hard. Like, they're probably, it's not even know if probably is the word. They are one of the best tag teams in the world, period, right now. Phoenix is, you know, even in single stuff, having incredible matches. Pentagon, he's gonna work that gimmick down, you know what I mean? Like, he's definitely gonna get in there. And I don't disagree with this whatsoever. I think any of these could have probably come through and been correct. I think that's pretty much it for most of the ballots. Like, you know, all of these could fit somewhere and I would think they were correct.
Yeah, for sure. Especially Johnny Gargano, he'll be top of the list any day of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was like, oh, 31.3%. Jonathan Gargano. Yeah, look at this guy.
But it shows you that the NXT was there, like you said, and then like, if you would have put WWE/NXT/Raw, whatever.
Yeah, main event /Table of Three. I agree. I think that it probably would have changed. I think it would have changed stuff up a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, haha, I didn't. So joke's on you. Sorry, NXT boys.
Like, I didn't even know how this one got on the list because I'm like, was this a feud of the year? Who? I don't really remember. Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole.
Yeah, I like did not. Nope, not for me. I was like, yeah, was like the one of the matches they had. I was like, oh, dope. And then I was like, the rest of them are like, oh, okay.
So they emptied the tank for the company every freaking time they went out.
Yeah, John, my man, Jonathan Gargano, was like, man. Let me tell you something. Like, I got this face I've been trying to do, and I'm gonna do it again, and I'm gonna do it again, I'm gonna do it again. You want to see this lawn dart spot, bro? I got you, bro. You want to steal your finisher? You want to steal
Adam
my
Cole's
finisher?
Like, want to see the Panama Sunrise? I'll do that 18 times in one match.
Yeah, perfect. Great, grand. Yeah. But he got 31.3%. So like, they definitely were hitting some numbers somewhere. You know what I mean?
They resonate with WWE fans who don't like WWE, but they do love NXT because it's not WWE.
NXT. Arisa Hoshiki.
They brainwash people so bad, though.
I told you, Puppet Masters.
This isn't WWE. WWE sucks.
NXT. Arisa Hoshiki and Tam Nakano had a very good feud this year. So I was happy to see that they ended up getting 19%. But I assumed once I saw Company of the Year at AEW, I was like, okay, well, I know where most of these awards are going. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, it's hard to fight that kind of stuff. But congrats to Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks on the feud of the year.
They'll be on next episode to accept the award.
Yeah, everybody, all these people will be, you know, like they'll accept it in real life. We'll print out a piece of paper for them and be like, here you go. This is good. So the next award we have is the Deddy's event of the year. We had AEW Double or Nothing, DDT Ultimate Party, WWE WrestleMania 35, and DDT All Out versus Sendai. Once again, surprised at no new, and I think that there's no New Japan representation here. And I think part of it is that a lot of people that follow loosely along with New Japan have no fucking clue what the events are. Like, they have no clue what Power Struggle is or Dominion or, you know what I mean? They're like, yes, there is the New Japan G1 and there is the New Japan Best of Super Juniors. And there's Wrestle Kingdom.
That's kind of like, honestly, with my New Japan stuff, I'm kind of like, okay, so there's this big stretch of like tournament stuff that you've got to pay attention to, like some of it. And then it's like Wrestle Kingdom. All right.
Yeah. Like, their branding is not so much fresh in a lot of people's minds. Like you barely hear anyone go like, yeah, Power Struggle was dope. You know,
yeah,
you know?
No.
They know
there
the matches.
Some, like, crazy matches though. Like, you get some matches, you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. It was crazy.
Yeah, like, I mean, people will remember the matches from Power Struggle, but they got no clue what Power Struggle is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's funny. The Tokyo Sports match of the year was like an Okada versus Sonata match, and like, it definitely wasn't match of the year. I was like, oh, this is so wrong. But just something I want to talk about real quick. So anyways, we had, of course, the four events I said for event of the year. Coming in fourth, we had DDT All Out versus Sendai Girls at 3.5%. Coming in next, we had WWE WrestleMania 35 in third place with 8.5%. And we had DDT Ultimate Party in second place with 11.6%. Of course, leaving AEW Double or Nothing at 76.4%. Your winner of the Deddy's event of the year. What a landslide, dude. 76.4%.
I think it's this biased podcast here that the reason it got that many
We
votes.
Are 100% biased. That is correct. But that is crazy. That number is nuts. My personal, the one I voted for was DDT Ultimate Party. That event, I think that show was absolutely nuts. But I mean, Double or Nothing was good too. I mean, all these shows were good. I mean, even, you know, WrestleMania 35 was, you know, pretty good. All these shows, I think, had some sort of
condition. I'm surprised that WrestleMania 35 didn't get second, but
Ultimate Party was a good show. I mean, it's, you're right. I mean, even if when you go down the list and you look at the DDT representation and all of these, you know, I, for Ultimate Party being at 11.6%, and we had to split DDT between All Out versus Sendai and Ultimate Party. So like, if you want to combine the DDTs, they're more so at like 15%. That's like pretty, I mean, like, they easily beat WrestleMania. Like, that's cool. Like, that just shows like people are kind of branching out and looking into more stuff, and I think that's really, really dope. But AEW Double or Nothing picking up the victory was not surprising to me in the least bit, especially once I knew all the rest of this stuff. Like, once I saw, I was like, yeah, that totally totally makes sense. And it was a good show. I mean, Double or Nothing was a good show. You know, you had the big Joshi triple threat match, or the six-woman Joshi joint, which was super, super cool. Of course, Young Bucks and Lucha Bros, and then Cody and Dustin. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here, right?
Yeah, Kenny and Jericho as well too on that show. So
yeah, a lot of and they all got time. Like all of them, you know, they let them go for a while. So, and they had that battle royale or whatever. So like, they had some good stuff.
I'm surprised the takeover people didn't vote. Did a takeover get?
The problem was is that yes, there was takeovers, but they were all different takeovers. So like, there wasn't one single takeover that beat any of these shows, but there was like Takeover New York, Takeover War Games, and they were like, but none of them had enough votes individually to.
Oh, okay.
So I think like the takeovers being split amongst each other hurt them pretty badly. But the takeovers were weak as fuck this year to me. Like usually I love the takeovers, but like they were weak, all of them. Like there was like none of them were great.
The War Games had 4 matches on it.
I was like, like most of them were like corny. I was like, oh, okay. But congratulations to AEW Double or Nothing for taking the event of the year, man. Congrats.
We'll have Tony Khan on next episode to accept the award.
Big T, that man. The Contron. Match of the year. I heard that on the ROH show last night, or it was ROH Final Battle. They're like, the Carrytron. I'm like, no one fucking calls it that. We're not fucking calling it that. Like, no one's calling it
the Carrytron. Why not the VTR? Doesn't New Japan call it VTR?
Do they?
Well, when they upload their things, like VTR, VTR or something, whatever. Huh. Anyway,
so subject here. Match of the year is the next one. And the last one before we head over to Twitter, and then we'll head back up the rest of the year. Match of the year. We had 4 matches here, and we had pretty good representation across the board on everybody. And this one was actually really close for a lot of these. We had Cody versus Dustin from AEW Double or Nothing. We had Billiam Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi from New Japan Best of Super Juniors Finals. We had Arisa Hoshiki versus Tom Nakano from Stardom Shining Destiny. And we had Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston from WrestleMania 35. So we had 4 different matches from 4 different promotions as match of the years, and that's fucking nuts, to be completely honest with you. That's kind of crazy that 4 promotions had 4 different respective matches. Like, that's nuts for match of the year.
And it also goes to show that, like, because we were talking about, like, Company of the Year, New Japan didn't make that, but they made match of the year. So it goes to show how people watch New Japan, I guess. Probably.
Yeah.
I heard about this match. I got to watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more recommendation than, like, religiously watching it, maybe.
Right.
And yeah, I think that so. Combined with like the split with Stardom coming into the mix and DDT being big this year was a couple of things. But coming in at 4th was Arisa Hoshiki and Tom Nakano at Stardom Shining Destiny with 13.4%. Coming in 3rd was Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania 35 with 21.1%. Billiam Ospreay and Shingo Takagi taking 2nd place at 27.5%. And the Deddies match of the year, Cody versus Dustin Rhodes at AEW Double or Nothing 2019 with 38%. How about that, Tony?
I mean, most memorable match of the year probably for me.
I need my brother.
All right, besides that corny stuff.
Come on, that's a much real part.
There was blood.
Me.
Blood was everywhere. It was fantastic. Yeah, that was dope. And this just proved that, like, Dustin Rhodes, Dustin Gold Dust had match of the year in 2019.
It was
what?
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. And it's crazy because they went into that match with the chip on their shoulder the whole time. They're like, we were held back. Like, now we're going to fucking do it.
Throne breaker.
Yeah, like that match was. I mean, like, here's the thing.
Is the match we should have had at Mania, is what they're saying there.
Yeah. First off, Cody not being in the Wrestler of the Year kind of surprised me a little bit, but I think that's because people, I don't know. Cody is, what's the word I'm looking for? He is polarizing. He's very polarizing. Because like when people think of Cody, they think of New Japan, more like Old Japan. and the thing is, you know what I mean? Like, but to be
his
fair,
ring of honor.
Yeah, to be fair to Cody, he has had quite an impressive year. He has delivered on every single promo he's done. He has delivered on every single match he's done in AEW so far. He's gotten over Darby Allin, you know, with his match against him. And like this match was really, really good. You can hate Cody as much as you want, but the fact of the matter is like this match was really dope. This match was like really, really good. And I'm not surprised that it took match of the year. I am surprised, like you said, that Goldust is you know, match of the year here. That's kind of crazy.
It was wild, but it most deserving. I mean, the other one that got me for match that didn't make it on this was Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks at their ladder match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was crazy. Yeah. But that was from the same show. And I think people chose Cody and Dustin over it. But I mean, maybe it was me being live as well. I think I always think of also thinking of like the Cracker Barrel spot. Man, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. That was dope.
That just sits in my head for the entire year. I'm just thinking of moments of the year and like, Cody and Dustin definitely sticks out. So
yeah.
Good on them for winning the award.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we'll head down to Twitter and we'll go through that really quick. We'll kick it off with, what do you want to do? Best Twitter account of the year?
Yeah, let's go with that.
So best Twitter account of the year had four people. We had Maki Ito from TJPW, Oni Lorcan from WWE. We had Warhausen, which was Warhorse and Danhausen. And we had Malcolm Bivens from WWE. So, coming in at fourth place, Warhausen with 8.1%. I was pretty surprised at this. I thought, I definitely fucking love their stuff. But I was surprised at that.
Yeah, maybe it's like, maybe next year is their Twitter year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're just catching on. I feel like not enough people know them yet. Like, I feel like Danhausen is just now, like, picking up, you know, because they're doing, like, a show next year, right? At WrestleMania?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah.
So I
forgot
I feel
the name
like they're,
it.
Like, they're trying to, that'll be their year. Okay, after WrestleMania, it's going to be like, those are the guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So coming in third place, we had Malcolm Bivens at 14.1%. In second place, we had Maki Ito with 16.9%, 69, nice. And we had in first place, for the best Twitter account of the year, throw them up, Oni Lorcan, 60.9%. I was surprised at how much he beat everybody by. 60.9% is crazy numbers. That's everyone times almost two. What the hell? That's nuts.
It's crazy. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what is one of his tweets that popped off? And I can't even really think of it right now.
The one right before he re-signed where he said something about Triple H and I think it was the ACH thing where Triple H was like, yeah, well, ACH should have like just come to me and not gone to the media or whatever. He said something about that was pretty good. I think people just generally like his, just his demeanor. I think he's just a funny guy.
Oh, he
like
did have a great one.
Going to the farm with his dad.
Had a great one on December 5th. Sometimes I go on Fortnite and yell at kids just to decompress.
Yeah, like he's got some good tweet. Stuff. He lives under a park bench, so like, yeah, I mean, like, there's, you know, like his Twitter videos where he comes out from underneath the park bench because he lives there. Like, there was some good stuff on any local Twitter account. So I was just surprised at how much of a landslide it was, how he beat everybody. I was like, damn, all right. Like, Oni Lorcan out here getting it. So congratulations to the newly re-signed WWE superstar, Oni Lorcan.
NXT Raw SmackDown, ECW
NXT.
Main event, table for three superstar.
Yeah, table for three. Road trip, yeah. So do you want to do best Twitter moment?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so best Twitter moment of the year, we had four things. We had Batista and Dana Brooke being horny on Maine. We had Maki Ito learning new words. Asuka playing Truck Simulator. She drives a track. And Matt Riddle taking milk from WrestleMania catering. So coming in fourth, we had Asuka playing Truck Simulator. Y'all don't put enough respect on the track, obviously. 10.6%. We had Maki Ito learning new words like Alabama Hot Pocket at 15.1%. In second place, I can't believe it, a heart struck, Matt Riddle taking milk from WrestleMania catering with 28.5%. Second place.
What's wrong with you people?
You guys failed us all. And number one, Batista and Dana Brooke being horny on Maine at 45.8%. Man, that's nuts. I voted for Matt Riddle.
Yeah, so did I. But I think the Batista one is still going on now, so there people are still in that moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that still being a thing, like Dana Brooke pulling out a Batista bomb is like, yeah.
You said, look, I did it, honey, or whatever. Or
yeah,
babe,
I mean, I fuck
you,
with this, but like, this man took a gallon of milk from catering, no questions asked. It's Brover. Like, what are you doing? Is that
milk dripping down?
Yeah, just dripping down
ear to
his lips. Asuka driving a track. Like, come on, bro. Like, there's some really good shit in here. This was a hard one, actually, because there was a lot of good stuff in this, I think.
They're all good, though. They're all good. So,
yeah.
I'm not disappointed. I'm just, Matt Riddle should have won.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed, but fuck. So congratulations to Batista and Dana Brooke being horny on Maine for winning the Deddy's Best Twitter Moment of the Year. So, worst Twitter account of the year. I think we all know the answer to that, but I'll go through it here. We had four submissions. Billiam Ospreay, Jim Cornette, Corey Graves, and Seth Rollins. Or if you want to go down the list here, Seth Ronan, Corny Graves, Jimothy Corvette, and Billiam Ospreay. However you want to say their names. So coming in fourth, we had, God, I can't even say Will anymore. I just say Billiam just straight off the gate. Coming in fourth, Will Ospreay at 0.7%. Probably the best 0.7% you could possibly ever get. The lowest score is actually good here. Jimothy Corvette at 13. Oh, wait, no. Actually, Corey Graves came in third at 11.6%. Jim Cornette came in second place at 13.7%. And number one, we all knew it was coming, Seth Rollins, worst Twitter account of the year, winner of the Deddy's 2019, 73.9%. That does not surprise me in the least. He deserves it.
It's so good. And I don't get why people don't like Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I don't get it. He's
person.
Cool.
I'm the same person.
He's cool. He said,
I'm the same person.
Yeah.
I've never changed.
It's
You've
all good
changed.
Here. So congratulations to Seth Rollins for being an asshat all year long and winning worst Twitter account of the year.
At least you get an award out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. At least you got something out of it, right? At least you got two things out of it, because now we're moving on to worst Twitter moment of the year, and they were all Seth Rollins. So let's go through the four worst Twitter moments of the year, according to the Deadlock community. Seth Rollins' bank account tweet to Billiam Ospreay. Seth Rollins' hashtag Team WWE tirade, best pro wrestling in the world tweet. Seth Rollins saying Mick and Taker would have liked ref stoppage. And Seth Rollins saying John Moxley left WWE because he wasn't a passionate wrestler. All of these are this year, which is crazy.
The greatest hot takes in wrestling,
yeah,
actually.
Rollins was on one all year long. Still is on one. You could turn him heel, but he's still on one. Like, you can't fix this. Okay, so coming in at fourth, we had Seth Rollins' hashtag Team WWE tirade at 12.7%. These were really, really close here. Coming in third, we had Seth Rollins saying Mick and Taker would have liked ref stoppage. Coming in second, we had Seth Rollins' bank account tweet to Billiam Ospreay at 28.2%. And then at number one, the Deddy's worst Twitter moment of the year, Seth Rollins saying John Moxley left WWE because he wasn't a passionate wrestler at 31.3%. Which one did you vote for here?
I think I did that one as well.
I voted for the ref stoppage because not only is that fucking ridiculous, but it is just so out of left field that he was trying to defend this match at Hell in a Cell. Yeah, Mick and Taker, bro, they probably would have liked a ref to come in and stop it. No, they wouldn't have. Mick walked
have
his ass right back to the ring.
Anything about Mick Foley?
Yeah, like, dude, he second-degree burns, got on the plane, went to ECW. Like, this dude doesn't care about anything. Dude was an absolute savage.
His skin was peeling off in Japan. Like, he didn't
care.
Yeah,
this dude had no regard for his fucking body. He was ready to go. Like, he fell through the cage and then walked back into the match. So, like, no, dude, you're so lost. It's crazy. But the winner was saying Moxley was not a passionate wrestler. Team WWE, bro. That was definitely a moment in time. Dude was slapped off his ass on that one, especially because John Moxley was one of his friends, and he played him the literal second he left. And that was totally not punk rock, dude, as Corey Graves will say.
It's interesting because Moxley was doing an interview recently, and he said that he talks to Roman, but he didn't say anything about Seth.
I'm not surprised. Not even a little bit. I feel like that's, you know what, 100% correct. That is true. Roman seems
like
an okay
one of your
guy.
Boys, man. It's like you went through the bad times, like the shitty FCW days to NXT, and made it all the way through to get, like, he's one of your boys. That'd be like if I'm like, oh yeah, James, he just wasn't really passionate about YouTube.
Like, Seth got so lost this year, man. He got so lost. And he deserves all these awards that he won here. So congratulations on all of those. You definitely deserve them. So
we'll mail you a flaming bag of poop to your house
this
and
is what
you can
get.
Stomp it out.
Stomp it out, and then there's your award covered in poop, just like all your tweets. So the Deddy's year-end awards are coming to an end, and we have one final award to give away. We have Wrestler of the Year, the big award. Who was number one in the community's eyes throughout 2019? We had four people. We had John Mox Oli. We had Arisa Hoshiki, Billiam Ospreay, and Daniel Bryan. Four different companies again. Four different representation from across the wrestling world. Daniel Bryan from WWE, Will Ospreay from New Japan, Arisa Hoshiki from Stardom, and John Mox Oli from AEW or New Japan or both. It's up to you. That's up to however you want to decipher that one.
I mean, WWE at the beginning of the year, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was wearing the Bane costume, I think. That sucked. So, coming in fourth, Wrestler of the Year, Arisa Hoshiki at 10.2%. Coming in at third place was Daniel Bryan at 27.5%. Coming in second, Will Ospreay, not Billiam, at 29.2%. And number one, the Deddy's winner for Wrestler of the Year, John Moxley at 33.1%.
Cody Pyro.
Congratulations to John Moxley, who has taken over the wrestling world, the talk of the town. He became the Deddy's Wrestler of the Year, voted on by the community. You vote for John?
I think it was tough for me. It was either him or Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Daniel had a sleeper decade, year.
Definitely Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I think if it was a decade, sure. But John's kind of, he had a hot year. I voted for Arisa Hoshiki. Obviously, right?
Obviously, yeah. Obviously. Doesn't surprise me, no.
Yeah. But at 33.1%, this was actually very, very close. Only a few percentage separated John, Will, and Daniel. Daniel and Will was less than 2% separated. John Moxley less than 4% for Will, and like 5 or 6% for Daniel. So like, that's incredibly close, you know. This was a very, very close Wrestler of the Year. So I think it could have gone any way for a lot of these. But the bias comes through, baby. John Moxley! Congratulations to John Moxley for becoming Wrestler of the Year. Congratulations to everyone who won a Deddy's Award. I'll go through the winners real quick. Wrestler of the Year, John Moxley. Match of the Year, Cody versus Dustin Rhodes at AEW Double or Nothing. Event of the Year, AEW Double or Nothing. Feud of the Year, Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks. Rookie of the Year, Lulu Pencil. Breakout Star of the Year, Darby Allin. Company of the Year, All Elite Wrestling. Indie Company of the Year, Game Changer Wrestling. Best Twitter Account, Oney Lorcan. Worst Twitter Account, Seth Rollins. Best Twitter Moment, Batista and Dana Brooke being horny on Main. And Worst Twitter Moment, Seth Rollins saying John Moxley left WWE because he wasn't a passionate wrestler. This was fun, dude.
Wow.
This was a fun, was like, cool. The awards were fun as hell because everyone was super into it. Like, I saw people in the Discord, like, discussing, like, who they were going to vote for and, like, who they were going to submit for the ballots. I'm like, yo, this is fucking sweet. Like, I just, like, you know, fly on the wall seeing people talk. Like, that's dope. I like, really enjoyed
that. Yeah, it's cool, man. And to think that Moxley almost, like, he had that staph infection thing and, like, he was sidelined for a while and he still became Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, he resonated with a ton of people. His New Japan run was fun. Going into AEW, he's been banging them out. So, like, I mean, what? I'm not surprised by that. I'm happy for him. I mean, he definitely deserves it. That was the 2019 Deddy's year-end awards, man. That's awesome.
Dang, AEW had, let's see, almost 6 awards. Was that 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
They were the hot promotion 6. This year, right? I mean, like,
and 7 if you count the John Moxley tweet by Seth.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, I'm not surprised. Like, they were the hot promotion this year. That's, I mean, I don't think anyone can deny that they were the hot promotion this year. Everyone was super into this. You know, they took over a lot of the wrestling world. They came in popping ratings and stuff. I mean, like, it's impressive. You know, they have no track record. They have 12 weeks of television. Like, you know, it's
that is true.
Very, very impressive the things that they have been able to do. You know, people talk down about the ratings or whatever, but this company has literally existed for about 10 minutes and like
on a blip on the radar. Yeah. Like going from like the capital, what was it, Capital Wrestling to WWF to WWF to WWE to the years to the WWE 10 minutes.
Yeah, WWE has been around since, there was times where Raw was going to go off the air and they couldn't even get people to watch it. So like, you know, time is a thing that exists. And AEW is definitely in their time right now as they're popping off this year, and it'll be interesting to see what they can do next year and what they can do. So just want to give once again a big thank you to everyone who supports Deadlock, whether that be on the website, Twitter, whatever the case may be, shop, podcast, it don't matter, man. It's just dope that you guys are hanging out, and you know, I'm glad that 284 people submitted, like that's 284 unique submissions for the year end awards, and you know, for the next year end awards, we're gonna be shooting for 285. You know what I mean? Hopefully we can grow. We're kind of like AEW in a sense. we just started and we're already
started at AEW All Out. So
yeah, so like it's doing incredibly well.
We are just AEW. We're the most AEW biased podcast, so
that's what
it is. AEW wins the most awards.
And I really do hope that you guys enjoy the shows while I'm gone in Japan. I'll be updating you guys. I'll probably be calling into the show. You guys are probably already here. I don't know. I don't know how the show structure is going to work since we're in the can right now, but
I'll probably just do a shitty intro. The boys are back.
Yeah, yeah, you got to do it. You got to keep the gimmick going, you know. You got to keep that going. But anyways, thank you guys once again. Have a good New Year's. I hope you guys had a good Christmas and all that stuff too. And I'll be back soon. Shoot, by the time this comes out, I'll only be gone another week or two, so hopefully I'll be back by then. So anyways, thank you guys for watching once again. Remember to head over to Apple Podcasts, check that out, leave some ratings and reviews, check out the Patreon, the shop, and all that kind of good stuff, and we'll catch you next time on the next episode of the Deadlock Podcast.